Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. On today's show, I want to continue talking about a subject matter that I introduced on the last broadcast, the subject matter of fasting. As I ended the last broadcast, I was talking about the primary purpose of fasting, which is to experience God as the source and the substance of life that is truly life. To, as it were, taste the heavenly manna, to drink divine water so that you never have to thirst again, to recognize union with Christ as the apex of human existence. In the words of the one who himself had been blinded by the light, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Of course, we're talking about St. Paul. As you and I behold the Lord, we become what we were designed to be, Christians. Followers of Christ growing in his image and being transformed into his likeness. But as glorious as this high peak truth is, there are a myriad other reasons to fast. The Ninevites fasted in sackcloth and ashes, and as a result, God stayed his hand of judgment. Ezra ate no food and drank no water. He was mourning the unfaithfulness of exiles who had returned to the land but had not returned to the Lord. Esther, she fasted from food and water for 3 days and nights and begged the Jews in the province of Susa to do likewise, and thus they averted the genocidal plot of Haman. Haman, who was the personal advisor to the Persian king Xerxes. And then there was Saul. Saul, who for 3 days was without sight and neither ate or drank, and thereafter there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Baptized not as Saul, but as Paul, who would become the apostle to the Gentiles. I think also about another example. The church at Antioch fasted and prayed as Saul turned Paul, was being set apart for his glorious commission as the apostle to the Gentiles. Fasting. Fasting has all this and actually much, much more to commend it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus placed fasting on par with prayer and almsgiving. Remember the triple braided cord. Mercy giving or almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. This almsgiving, prayer, and fasting together are acts of righteousness. Not righteousness to be seen by men, but by her Father who sees what is done in secret. Indeed, these three, prayer, almsgiving, and fasting, are inextricably woven together as one, as the living discipline of fasting fortifies our supplications. So also it opens our hearts to the needs of the poor and the downtrodden. In a series of sermons, a revered Cappadocian father by the name of Saint Basil, he exhorts us to walk through history and to investigate the ancient origins of fasting. All the saints have protected fasting, well, like an inheritance passed down from the fathers. They in turn passed it down like a father passing something down to a child. And thus we are the successors of this long line, this possession that has been entrusted to us. For Basil, fasting was no trifling matter. He chided those who appeared to be more eager to pleasure the stomach than provide food for the soul. This is what he said. While getting filled up does a favor for the stomach, fasting returns benefits to the soul. Be encouraged, therefore, because the doctor has given you a powerful remedy for sin. Strong, powerful medicines can get rid of annoying worms, worms that are living in the bowels of children. And fasting is like that. It cuts down to the depths, venturing into the soul to kill sin. It is therefore truly fitting to call it by this honorable name of medicine. You see the connection he's making between medicine and fasting, medicine for the body and fasting for the soul. As Moses, Elijah, and Jesus fasted 40 days, in the same way the church, from its earliest days forward, fasted 40 days in spiritual preparation for the festival of the Lord's resurrection. We call it Pascha. During those 40 days, our Lord's words concerning fasting remain foremost in our thoughts. Fasting not for outward appearances, because hypocrisy is repugnant to the Lord. But when your fasting is actually attended by purity of heart, you will be fully rewarded by the Father who is unseen, by the Father who sees what is done in secret, and thus rewards us. And so, as I said, Jesus, he weaves fasting together with prayer and almsgiving as a three-braided cord connecting us to the Father who is in heaven, as well as to our own flesh and blood, who reside as yet on earth. And says Isaiah, "Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood on this earth. When you fast in such a way, Your prayer will rise up as a sweet-smelling savor. Then, says Scripture, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go on before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard as well. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, "Here I am." We'll continue the discussion on fasting when we come back from the break. And once again, as we go to break, I want to say thank you to all who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As we went to break, I was talking about how fasting will inevitably stimulate reciprocal love for needy human beings who bear the image and likeness of God upon this earth. And when this is so, God will infuse you with his uncreated energy. Though your stomach may be empty, your spirit will be fully satisfied. You will experience the life of God springing up within you like a river of living water. This is precisely what Isaiah says. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. And he will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. If we are satiated with food and drink, we're prone to a false sense of self-sufficiency and easily blinded to the needs of those lacking bread and water. But in fasting, we are refashioned as the poor in spirit, the poor in spirit illumined to our dependence on God as well as the needs of those fashioned in the image and likeness of God. As we fast, we're reminded that God is the bread of heaven and that Jesus, that his body was broken so that we may even now experience the life that is truly life and the consummation of all things, an eternal banquet table. Fasting is a many-splintered discipline. It not only satisfies the spirit, it's strong medicine for the body. In a sermon series, a powerful sermon series, Saint Basil enumerates the benefits of fasting. He says this, "What's easier to the stomach? A plain diet that carries you through the night, or rich foods that weigh you down like a rock when you lay down?" The wise Cappadocian father used a merchant ship as an apt illustration. Such a ship is far safer and more maneuverable when light than when excessively weighed down. As we said, the ship completely loaded down is sunk by a minor swell in the waters. But the boat that has a captain smart enough to toss overboard the extra weight or ride high above even surging waves. And so it is with overindulged bodies. A person gets absorbed with filling up, getting weighed down until finally falling into ill health. But those who are well equipped, those who are light and truly nourished, avoid the prospect of serious disease. Did you hear that? He went on to say, they're like the boat in stormy weather that goes right over a dangerous rock. To those who are traveling, fasting is a favorable traveling partner. While on the other hand, luxury forces them to wear burdens by carrying their enjoyments around, fasting instead prepares them to be light and unencumbered. And then Basil, with ironic humor, says, the stomach ought to give a vacation to the mouth. It never stops demanding, and what it takes in today is forgotten tomorrow. Whenever it is filled, it philosophizes about abstinence. Whenever it is emptied, it forgets those opinions. How foolish to dig a grave with your own knife and fork. A full belly not only makes running a race difficult, it even makes sleep tough. When you're weighed down completely and can't find a way to rest, you are forced instead to continually turn from side to side. I can relate to that. The stomach is very much like an undisciplined child. It forever demands its fill of empty calories. But the discipline of fasting, well, that restores balance and self-control. One fasting, says the Father, has a gentle eye, a calm gait, a thoughtful face. There's no intemperance, no arrogant laughter, but rather fitting speech and purity of heart. Remember the saints of old of whom the world was not worthy, who went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. Remember their mode of life. If indeed you are seeking after the same inheritance as them. With all that fasting has to commend it, the question that remains is simply this: how can you and I celebrate this discipline for the remainder of our lives? As with the memorization of Scripture, I found it exceedingly helpful to set small, attainable goals. And thus I began my initial fast following the Orthodox manner of fasting on Wednesday and Friday. And during both days, I fortified myself with prayer, and I considered the needs of others, and I drank ample amounts of water. These fasts, I maintained in duration of them an acute awareness that my fasting was not about outward appearances, although I did lose a substantial amount of weight, but rather about inner transformation. When I begin to feel hungry during some of the more challenging fasts, like the Lenten fast before Pascha, I pray not only for perseverance, but for multitudes worldwide experiencing involuntary fasting or involuntary deprivation, as well as for millions more who could not assuage their hunger by drinking bottles of fresh water, as I have the luxury of doing. Bottom line is this: wherever fasting takes you, perhaps even toward a 40-day mountaintop experience, it is crucial to remain mindful of the purposes for which you are fasting. And I close with this because there are four that immediately spring to my mind. They're memorable: forgiveness, almsgiving, supplication, and transformation. Forgiveness, in the sense that as we fast, we are continually to seek forgiveness from sin. For says Scripture, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Almsgiving. In fasting, we intuitively consider the needs of others, as well as our responsibility to give alms to the poor. I tell you the truth, said Jesus, whoever does this can think of this: whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. And then supplication. As almsgiving is inextricably woven together with fasting, so too are our prayers and our supplications. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. And then finally, I close with this, transformation. We fast so that we might be transfigured in the manner of Peter, James, and John. As St. Basil so wonderfully exhorted, anoint your head with the holy oil so that you may be a partaker of Christ and then go forth to fast. Appetites pleasure the body. Abstinence gives wings to the spirit so that we may ascend to the Mount of Transfiguration and there discover communion with God as the apex of life. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we talk about fasting. I look forward to continuing St. Matthew's Gospel next time as we talk about laying up treasure in heaven.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.